It looks like you've been cooking on the stove. That'll be a bond deduction.
It's a room of one's own with Auckland renters advocate Celine on 95 BFM.
Every time the little sting plays and there's like a different one each time, I laugh and then I cry because it's too real. Everyone knows someone who's had like almost exactly that experience.
Yeah, it's not satire really. No. It's real.
The spices you're using are too strong. What?
Get out.
Anyway. Hey, Celine.
Hey.
On that spicy note.
Yes.
Here to talk about renters' rights.
Yay.
Which is always topical.
Absolutely.
And at the moment, again, COVID getting in the way, making things a bit complicated for people. So there's a few in that world in the texts from the listeners today. But let's jump in with this big one here from someone who said that when they were applying for an apartment, they were asked to pay an option fee, in quotes. So that's from the business. With 1 week's rent, while they processed my application to, and this is a quote again, ensure that all advertising was taken down of the apartment. It felt super shady. I paid it and it's now gone towards a week's rent in advance, but the point was that if we were to withdraw our application, we wouldn't get our money back. And they've said it was $550. So not a cheap little deposit there.
No.
To confirm, we'd been offered the apartment.
No, they had not offered the apartment.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was paid. They paid it and it's worked out fine. They've got the apartment, but feeling gross about it. The company is Goodwins, so I guessed it was all above board, ? Have you ever heard of this option fee before? Hoping it doesn't become more of a thing.
Yeah, I wasn't so sure about this. So I was having a little look into something similar. And so since 2018, where landlords aren't allowed to charge any extra, like they call them key money. So
yeah,
beyond rent and board, you're not allowed to ask for any little bits of money for different strange reasons, except for an option fee.
Oh my God. I always hate
when that's the result. Yeah.
It's so sneaky.
So I think
Boo-ins.
it looks like the only exception is an option fee. So it's for them to hold onto the property while you decide, which seems like a little sneaky trick. The maximum amount for an option fee is 1 week's rent. Make sure you know that. And then I think what's tricky is that they're saying here, if the tenants decide to rent the property, then the landlord must refund the option fee or put it towards the rent.
Yeah.
But then they're saying that it kind of didn't exactly say, I think it assumes that they have to refund it if you don't take the apartment, or you don't take the you don't end up moving in.
Yeah.
So it says here in quotes, prospective tenants are encouraged to talk with the landlord and agree in writing how long they have to decide whether or not to rent the property and what happens with the money paid as option fee if they decide not to rent it. So it's not explicitly saying you're forced to refund it, but I would say that that's
implied.
That's implied, but
why
you're
don't
still
they just
having
put it in the god dang law.
So if you're
sneaky,
if you see something about an option fee, you then have to enter into this discussion about how will I get my money back. But I think you just—it's good to know all of that, so say we're going to take a week, and then we need our money back in this way. Otherwise, yeah.
What would happen if someone said, "Hey, I actually don't want to pay this option fee"? Because I mean, the word is option, so they could say no, right? The renter.
I guess the renter could say no, and then it would just still be on the market in a sense. So yeah, that's a good point. I hadn't totally thought about that.
Yeah.
And that it's tricky too, because it doesn't seem legal that you're then paying an amount to make you more of a viable.
It's so gross.
It is gross.
I should look into this more, because it's one of those things where there's so much grey area. There may be some other protection that comes through from a different area that I don't know about.
Okay.
It does seem like it's legitimate, but I would be getting that money back if you can. Or refuse, but it's tricky when it gives you different.
Especially if you want a place.
Exactly.
And you want
that
house.
Yeah, it sounds like a nice apartment. You want to move in. You don't want to be like, oh, maybe someone else will get it.
because they
guess I'll
pay
find
the option
$500
fee. Yeah, on top of bond, on top of the week in advance,
and like, probably in this world you've still not got any of that back from the house you're living in.
Absolutely,
simply love it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that was helpful. Thank
I'm
you.
I'm outraged.
Yeah. No, you're welcome.
Okay. Someone said, "Hey, Celine, we're moving out of our flat soon. The landlord has organised some viewings. Am I within my rights to ask if everyone coming into our house is vaxxed?"
Yes, good question. Again, I don't necessarily have a totally straight answer because as we've gone through different levels and had different experiences with COVID, we have had kind of this developing lore as we go. So it's always settling in different places. And from what I can tell at the moment, they've kind of settled in this position where tenants don't have the rights to ban like unvaccinated tradespeople from doing work on their property and doing maintenance. So there's different power in terms of a landlord being able to mandate that someone, you know, so it's quite difficult. But I would, mainly what's happened with property viewings looks like the tenants have to give permission, but you can't really withhold permission that easily either.
Oh my gosh.
So I would, basically what I think is happening is that they're saying that it can go forward as long as public health measures are followed. So physical distancing, record keeping, mask wearing, etc. But you need consent from the tenant if it's tenanted. So
okay.
I could say that you could try and mandate that yourself, or really talk to the landlord about what you need to be done to give consent.
Yeah.
And the protections that you would expect, QR codes and distancing and all of yeah. these different things. But again, it's not such a clear cut conversation. And again, you might want to call the Tenants Protection Association to double totally. Check to get some like strict advice about what you can do. But I would say you might be able to try and manage it in that sense.
Totally.
But you might not be able to do a blanket ban in that way.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
Tricky, tricky.
Tricky, tricky. It's a hopeful morning.
We just love when an already kind of like vulnerable position becomes more vulnerable, eh? Okay, one of my flatmates, this is not me, this is a texter. Love my flatmates. One of my flatmates kind of sucks. Brackets, just not a good flatmate. Messy, rude, loud, all the annoying things. Me and the other flatmates would ideally like them to move out, but we want to keep it as civil as possible. How do you go about kicking someone out? I feel bad.
Oh, that's hard, especially at this time as well. It feels
yeah, totally.
More stressful to have bad dynamics in a flat, but then also stressful to like be trying to get someone out and get them in a new living situation.
Very awkward.
Yes, very uncomfortable. So I would say the we use the term flatmate kind of across the board in New Zealand. But legally, what's really important for this is that you have a tenancy agreement with your landlord, and all of you may be signed onto it, then you're all tenants,
mm-hmm.
or one of you may be, and then the rest of them have an agreement with that tenant as flatmates.
Okay.
So it really depends on legally who's got their name on that tenancy agreement. So if that person that you aren't so fond of anymore has their name on the tenancy agreement, it's quite a lot harder, and potentially the best option would be to, if you can't find a way to manage living together, trying to end that tenancy agreement, and then you could start a new one with that smaller group of people, or manage it that way, because they do have a legal right as a tenant with the landlord separately within that kind of agreement. If you're the person that signed on to the tenancy agreement and they and other people in your flat have a flatmate kind of relationship with you, then you kind of have a legal right to ask them, I guess you have more power in that situation.
Yeah.
But often what we don't do and what we're advised to do in these situations is to have everyone in the flat sign a flat sharing agreement. So there's templates of that available on tenancy services, or you could do your own version of that. But that could be something that you could have done at the beginning.
Yep.
But if you haven't, you could still maybe broker that now as like basic rules that then potentially could be a way to show that it doesn't fit. Or
yeah.
if you know what I mean.
That. Does that have any like legal, because this is kind of a tricky yeah. one. Is that a legal document?
It does become, I do believe it's a legal document. So they don't deal with any of the flatmate disputes in the tenancy tribunal, but there's a disputes tribunal.
Okay.
So it kind of goes into a different disputes area that's not necessarily using like the Residential Tenancies Act.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's looking at different kind of disputes. So there's good information about how flat sharing agreements work online. online, and that could be something, if you already have, could help give you a reason that it's not quite working as a group of people, or it could be something to think about now, and even just through discussing the rules or the responsibilities you might share, to try and frame that it's not actually a good fit.
Yeah,
that's kind of my advice for there, but it's a tricky one, so good luck.
We've had a couple of questions come through just now. We might only have time to get to one of them, I think, so we'll save one up for next time you come in. But yeah, someone's just made a really good point. It's kind of the time of the year when lots of students are moving into yeah. new houses, and lots of students will be moving for the first time yes. into a flat. Good luck to everyone doing that at the moment. Bit yeah. of a mish. What are some things that, you know, first time renters should be keeping an eye out for, in your opinion? You know, just what should they know? What are their yeah. basic rights that they need to know walking into a new renting situation?
So I think the main thing would be, you're going to feel better if you've done some reading about what your rights are, I think. So I would advise just look at Aratohu, that advocacy tenants website. That's really good. Community Law also have a good booklet online about rights. But the main thing I would say is that regardless of what it says in your tenancy agreement, the Residential Tenancies Act protects you. Mm-hmm. So even if you think you've signed away some of your rights in that, you haven't. So that the law still applies to something. So it's still unlawful even if you didn't know mm-hmm. and you feel like you agreed to something different. That kind of like basic support is still there.
Yeah.
And that's a good idea. Maybe for next time we should plan some kind of little
yeah, maybe next,
intro.
Next time that Celine comes in, we'll do a proper rundown on yeah. like what do you need to know going into a flat for the first time? Because yeah, it is a bit of that time of the year.
Absolutely.
For a bunch of young folks out there.
And different if you're going into a room of a flat that's already pre-existing
yep.
or you're renting yourself as a group for the first time. So I would just, the main thing probably, especially if you're going into a new flat, would just be to record everything, you know? Don't
totally.
Assume that people have your best interest at heart. You move in, take photos of the quality of the place
yeah.
and just keep a record of lots of things like that, so that if you do come up against someone or you need to complain or take it somewhere else, you've got this really good bank of evidence to support
ready
you.
Ready to fight.
Absolutely. And that will just make you feel better as
totally.
Well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's awesome. My main advice.
Cool. Well, we'll come back to that one in a fortnight then, plus that question that we didn't get time to get to about fixed-term contracts. There is a little bit of stuff in previous BCasts about fixed-term contracts and how to get out of those early. Plus, we'll put links to all of the very useful resources that Celine's mentioned on the website.
There is also, actually, speaking of fixed-term quickly, the Renters United that I'm involved with a bit is running a webinar tonight
awesome.
With the Citizens Advice Bureau and the Tenants Protection Association, and that's all about periodic and fixed-term tenancies. So I'm sure they'll have a video of that up after tonight as well, but if you look at their social media, you'll find it, and that will be a really interesting run through of the differences and your rights in those situations too.
Awesome. We will stick links to that up as well. Thank you, Celine. Always a pleasure.
No problem.
To get furious about the world with you.
Exactly.
we'll see you in a fortnight.
See you soon.
A plague on both your investment houses.
That was A Room of One's Own with Auckland renters advocate, Celine.